morning. First of all, we apology. I think Lynn's an apology. Hold on. Michael.
And Brian Quinn.
Brian Quinn, how
are you? Thank you, everyone else, but pardon me. The first thing is obviously we have a new guy at the top of the table here, and this is Martin Robinson. Martin has joined the council, and he will be taking on Jonathan's role for the foreseeable future.
Well,
you're very welcome.
Thank you for the team.
Okay, declarations of interest. Okay, we'll move on then. Number three is ERT action sheet from Monday the 14th. Copy and close. Anybody have anything they'd like to raise on it? Nope. We'll move on then to item number four, which is the Fairfellow Play Area. And that's the report, Marie.
Yeah, sure. Fairfellow Play Area, members of the work, the history behind it. The council has secured match funding to take place in the area, and what we're doing here is asking committee just to allow us to enter into a relevant license agreement to allow that funding to proceed, and those license agreements will between the council and DFC.
Mm-hmm. I propose motion that we are fabulous for that. Okay, thank you. No comment then, anyone else? We move on to item number five, which is the one point on shore.
Sure, as members are aware, we do work in working on schemes to allow us to draw down funding from the DFC for environmental improvement schemes. One of those that is in the pipeline, I suppose, is the Warm Point Onshore Public Realm Scheme. And what we're looking to do is appoint a consultancy, an integrated consultancy team, to work on a design plan, working with a task and finish group, to draw the scheme that will allow us to make bids for funding moving forward. So we're asking permission to tender for the integrated consultancy team and to establish an appropriate task and finish group. Now, I would say that we probably won't establish that until after the election on the 2nd of May.
Okay, Gavin, you want to know?
Yeah, and in view that we won't establish the team after the election, I propose that we have the recommendations.
Propose. Charlotte?
Thank you,
Jerry. Not on there, Charlotte. What's your name?
Sir, listen, we've operated the AFOR. This proposal is to do a scheme in the future between Dock Street and the Baths. From the Baths to Billings Point has been a long, long and sore, and one that about yourself and Councillor Carr have listened to many times from the residents of Warren Point. So at some stage in the future, if there's any possibility that this scheme becomes something more than an aspiration. Now, it's not going to happen between now and May, sure, but I certainly would be fully supportive of anything happening there along the lines of a boardwalk or something similar. And we should get really down to the nitty gritty of what can and cannot be done there, not just be called off by road service. Thank you.
Michael.
Thank you, Chair. And maybe along the same lines, it's the title as well of what we're talking about here, the front shore scheme. And I think most people that are in mind, well, technically it is the front shore, but most people would see the front shore from being from the Bass down to Coach Corner and beyond. So I just think that we should be conscious of that and maybe change the name. I'm not sure whether it's around the Marine Parade or whatever, but it's slightly misleading, as I'm sure you agree, Chair, that people could get mixed up on it, so I would correct that. So welcome to that work, but make sure that I do think that we should keep the development, the third phase of this, if you like, very much to the fore going forward.
Okay.
Sure, that's certainly something that we can look at moving forward. There's a paper later on the committee as well. And looks at actually building in the idea of the beachfront there as well. So we will be extending beyond that and acknowledge the point of the function.
Okay, and Gavin, you proposed it.
I second it.
Okay, that's that one. We'll move on to a couple of flags renewal, item 6.
Yeah, sure. As members will be aware, we have had a couple of flags here in seniority since 2016, with the assessment pre-Christmas there in December. I'm delighted to say that we have been successful in retaining that purple flag. I can nearly say that. Purple flag status. So we're just asking council for permission to renew the accreditation and for the council chairman and the relevant official to attend the awards in Dublin on the 6th of March.
Yeah, I'm the approach chair. I just want to make sure also just so we're obviously getting the most out of it. And we have a number of new premises open in the city, great estate and some extension to repurpose the existing premises. Just the hope that we're, you know, we've just got them, we're just letting it play there, we're making the most out of it, chair. Thank you.
I'll be a standard for that, Charlie.
Okay. Chair, just maybe it's just a point that we're saying here about the Purple Award from 2016. I remember that award being given 10 years ago to certainly the older gentleman, just the council. I don't think myself that I'd probably receive it.
I think it's 2014,
Michael. No, but even beyond that, even before that, New York City had the proper flag status. Just maybe again for accuracy, somebody checked when we first got it. I'm surprised that
amendment was chair of the Raymond Council, that I think you were chair of some group you cut a cake up in Bangles Castle, a purple cake.
Correct, right? That's not recent.
2014. Some memories of that.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just check the reference
2016. Okay, I'll have you move on then. Item number 7, we're in a bullion family.
Chair, we have been doing work through Ringy Gullion for a refurbishment of a plane carriage, wanted for a better way to straighten it. We've been looking at the placement of the same, and the council are looking now to enter into a partnership agreement with TramLink to host that tram on their site at the train station, which we believe is an appropriate location. So we're just asking permission from the committee to do the same.
Roisin, can you put your mic on, Roisin, please?
I know this is a project, you know, the paper says that it's been worked on for quite a while. I think it's regrettable that it couldn't go with the roundabout, but by the same token, I think it's a much more appropriate setting for it to be outside the train station. I know myself last year speaking to a number of train enthusiasts, and they were very, very keen for it to happen. So I'm absolutely delighted that this accommodation has been reached. I think it's a win-win for everybody, and I am more than happy to both acknowledge the work that has gone into it and to propose that we go ahead with this.
I suppose we'll be a seconder for that proposal then. Aye. Okay, no other comments, then we'll move on to item number 8, which is an environmental fund application, or environment fund application.
Sure, this is the Ringy Gullion and Shrinkford Rock and McHale AONB partnership. The funding that comes from the Department for that piece is from the 31st of March of this year. We're in the process of making the application to renew that funding, we hope. And from the period 1920 to 2023, we're seeking £623,000 to retain the operation of those both partnerships. So we're asking Council to just accept the recommendation that we submit the application and continue to work on the management plans for staying.
Okay, we have a proposer, Roisin, you're proposing. I'll be a seconder, Dermot. And you. No other comments then. We move on to item number 9, which is an update local full fibre network.
Yeah. Sure, Full Fibre ANI is a consortium that we've established as a lead council from Newry-Moran and Down. We're acting on behalf of the 10 councils in Northern Ireland, including ourselves, and with the exception of Belfast. Although I would say that Belfast have actually provided considerable support to us in this bid and continue to support us in it. It's a bid for funding from BCMS in Westminster to support the improvement of fibre cabling across Northern Ireland. We have an initial bid of £15 million in, and then further one that will be around £15 million as well. We are going, we're still in the process of Alphabet, myself and Liam Hanway and one of the staff, Michael Forrester from my department, will be going to London on Monday to make our final presentations on that bid. So we're asking ahead of that the council approve the establishment of the consortium agreement, which will be essential to the bid, and we're doing that working with Belfast Legal Services, and that we would become, to approve the fact that we would become the host council for FSNI on behalf of the 10 councils in Northern Ireland. As I said, this is it's an exciting project. It's one that we're not over the line, but we continue to work on, and it will support the confidence and supply project starting money and the city deed money, so all linked together is moving towards working on a good network provision for Northern Ireland.
Proposal for that, then? Have we a proposer? A founder proposing? Have we a second or a second?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments? And then we move on to item number 10, which is the new developer.
It's entirely, how broad reaching is that out into the rural areas? That because it is so different from the provincial standard. I mean, is that what the idea of it is? I mean, we had this here before, haven't we? At some stage, not before, isn't it?
Yeah, we have.
This is not the first time. So has that been confirmed? I mean, are we going to reach into every pocket of the rural areas?
Yeah, the aim of this bid is to support Project Stratton, which is the confidence and supply money, and then the city deal, and it is to reach in the rural areas and try to create network connections across a number of council owned and education owned sites that will then allow the market to tap off for other residential or commercial providers.
Yeah, the reason why we're not into it, this one comes along, right, and then people then discover that down certain roads, for example, Openreach will not allow those lanes to be opened up to the whole suppliers for a number of years. And this is where I think the small print of these things are very, very, need to be looked at very, very carefully, because to get the real large grants to come in and do this type of work, and then Openreach will not, because of the all the monopolies the state have on the provision of the broadband lines themselves, to keep them closed for a number of years and take those exorbitant amounts of money of ordinary householders, the people paying 70 and 80 pounds a month to get fiber broadband. And I don't think this is the side. Don't pick me up wrong, that's what you're doing. But we should try and build some safeguards in here. And it's the brightest of the rural areas, but before you get out, you go out from the main exchange and green boxes. That's where the problems lie. And those people are crucified. And not just for 1 year, for 4 or 5 years, until they decide arbitrarily to open up these lanes, to the like of other, I'm not going to mention all the competitors at the moment, but all the competitors that are in the game that can offer at a third of the price. So that's the sort of thing I think we should be trying to ensure, even at this stage, that it is an equal playing field for everybody. This money will be well spent and will not be paying for it twice.
Chair, I think it's important to note that this, I think what you're referring to largely refers to Project Stratum and what Project Stratum is trying to achieve. We're supporting that, but it's a slightly different project. But when you're into the residential rural area,
yeah, but this is all you say that
these
policies would be paid off.
They all speak, but Project Stratum is really trying to deal with the specific issues that we're talking about. So I can certainly see them find information for you and circulate, but I wouldn't have the detail of that with me tonight.
Okay,
then.
Yeah.
And we'll move on then to item number 10, Utah for Warren Pine Beaches. Over to you, Andy. Thank you.
Chair, following the notice of motion table this September council meeting, officers identified and evaluated options to create an artificial beach in New Capital. The report includes location options and details of other costs for consideration. In addition to New Capital, the paper sets out considerations for the development of the shorefront at one point. So full details and recommendations and considerations are included in the paper.
Okay. Anyone like to make any comments? What are your own?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to thank the officer, first of all, for putting the paper, a very detailed paper, the large group of people in Jamaica. In my opinion, this is not the solution that Newcastle requires. Newcastle has a beach. Council should manage the beach in a better way. Regular cleansing, clean access points, moving debris from the pathway. This would all, you know, go some way to improving the beach experience that people face at the minute, where they can't even get access over the beach. The pop-up beach, in my opinion, it'd be very difficult to secure. They're very difficult to stop antisocial behaviour, dog fouling, and indeed dogs urinating in the sand. If it's not in an enclosure, you know, a secure enclosure, there's health and safety. This glass can get into the sand, or we're going to clean the sand, level it every morning, and then cleanse the sand. How is this going to be achieved? So, any concerns about, you know, the pop-up beach in an open area, I don't see how it's going to work. And in fact, it's going to go off the promenade on the road. You know, so you have to prevail the southeasterly winds. You know, the sand will stay on the promenade. You know, so there's difficulties with that. And I understand the sentiments of Council Gavin, which is bringing forward that a number of traders are looking for some sort of solution. You know, that you can have that bucket and see the experience on the beach. But I think the artificial beach will not resolve the problem. We have with the, you know, providing a designated stretch of recreational beach. That's what people want. They're probably the problem with that, particularly in the area where the art is, the ball and the spa. In between them, two areas in the promenade is the area where people want that experience. So part of the recommendation is that we should discuss it with NAEA, again about a marine license, about allowing us to replenish the beach in that area that I discussed for the summer months. That's what we're talking about. And to enter into an agreement with NAEA about taking the sand from where it is accumulating at Ballyhiva and bringing it back up onto the beach. That's what the traders want, that's what the local people want, and that's what the visitor wants. They don't want to be sitting on sand in the promenade with no water, because they still want to get to the water. You know, so the pop-up beach doesn't work for me. It's probably okay in the city, you know, if it's a bath pass on the nights. Somebody suggested it worked quite well in Paris. I said probably did, but it's not the experience that we require in Newcastle. So I propose that the two recommendations, three points of recommendation, and I'm content with the first two, but to include Newcastle Beach Club in regards to discussions with NAEA and looking at, again, looking for a marine license in regards to do the work that we require. Because the cost implications are considerable. They're talking over 30,000. And then with all the maintenance costs, with all the additional costs, as I said, about how do we clean this out? You know, how often do we clean it? You know, so it just doesn't work for me. If it was in a closed environment, there is proposals for a new leisure centre with a fun pool element to it. If it was something like that, you know, running alongside the children's, you know, play area, you know, where you had a water facility and also a sand facility, and, yeah, I could see why it'd be something like that. But to be in the open environment, I just don't think it would. In the interim, I would propose that we look at areas where there is sand. There's a couple of areas where there's a good accumulation of sand. And if we could provide bins at them locations and maintain them locations in the interim, I think that would be a good solution for us. I think that proposal.
Okay, is anybody in the house having a second last thing? Charlie? Michael, you were looking at.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I note the comments that have been made about going by. I don't disagree with anything that I'm reading there. It does talk about the bathing water quality. And I think it may have come later on about bathing water signage and information is coming up in Newcastle. And In this case, we're talking about Luke taking about that in 3 years' time. Could I ask if that's with that wrong sign? Could Kayleigh, if we, if it's enough that they're building and they have the technology and the building water quality is measured more by the soil and sign is posted to indicate to people, because it's very rare to use.
That's part of the proposal, Michael.
Pardon?
That is part of the proposal.
Which proposal? 16, the building water to be. Yes, but there's a subtle difference there. We're coming to an end later on, I think it's end of 16 off there. Where it's going, we're going ahead in Newcastle to provide the signage and provide the app and so on. And what I'm saying is that more importantly than the artificial beach, I think water quality, measuring it is key. And I would propose that we go with that now as opposed to waiting for it.
Yes. Sure. Just I think on a technical point, it's important for Andy to explain just why it takes 3 years
Certainly, Chair, through Newcastle Beach has recognised the water quality and is measured on an ongoing basis, but in order to implement that at one point we would need 3 years of data of water measurements. And that will be done in accordance with NIEA regulations. So it would be something that we could look at immediately. And certainly, we need 3 years of data before it could be designated as a bit more.
Yeah, it was my understanding that if we want to measure on a regular basis, we used to get reports on it. I recall reports coming through on the quality of measuring. Various pictures for new flag status and so on. So if they're saying it's going to take 3 years, I read it's really different in that, which is not gone, but that it was going to be part of the environmental improvement scheme in 3 years' time. You know, so. Okay, so now there's a software out there. Thank you.
Any different issue? No,
too much of a question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a I'm contrary to it, but I'm not quite some amusement that the Marine Strategy Management Branch, they must have gone there in the winter time to Warrenstown Beach. Because that's where everybody basically, it's the most popular part of the beach. They're saying that people there are basically in danger of their lives because of the quality of water. And the very fact that the Outdoor Recreation Centre is all located there, and very good news of this report. And given the fact that this council, not so many
people. Yeah, where does it say in the internet?
Well, it doesn't say, but you would almost read it into it that, you know, that this water was never tested before, and the bottled water comes from somewhere else that's going to pollute it up. People bathe in one point there all the time. And there's been no fatalities, no poisonings, no deaths, or no E. coli or anything else that I've ever heard reported. Hopefully. And even. I do look forward to this meeting with them because our outdoor recreation the facility, it's standard there. Actually, everybody uses, and they're trying to tell us that if you do any work there, you need testing up to a high. No issue with testing, but I'm very pleased that they're saying this. We are kind of previously placed down there, and it has quite a degree of stress of stability to the top of our upper part of that. So I don't see why suddenly everything had to change. Good job, Jim Bell, the EEB, which wasn't here, but then the EU on it. But anyway.
Sure, I don't believe that
Nearing
Morning Down
was
placed
on
the beach.
Yeah, well,
it was
good old Nearing Morning.
The record that
Nearing
Morning Down didn't
place on. No, but it was placed, I think, later on as the region and the major. I think it was certainly in that
is
a
the problem being is that a license is required to place down on a beach. You're
already
council. Yeah,
we've already placed.
Yeah, but the point is it was placed, the license is now required, and I think that's what we need to work through. I think everybody can support it out there. It is an opportunity to do it right and get it done year on year from here on in.
What if the product we use for vaccine or the war, you know, that they have found issues with us?
Well, I think part of the recommendation is that we're going to actually get them in here and we're going to fix them, because I don't accept what's in the paper in front of me either.
Thanks, Chair.
Andy? Somebody switch it off, okay.
Chair, just to clarify, also, just on the paper, NIEA are not issuing any advice or concern with regards to the quality of the bathing water. What the paper statement is that the quality of the water isn't measured at the moment on a regular basis from NIEA, and the risk is if it, with all the bathing waters, if they aren't measured for quality, there could be a danger, but they're not suggesting for any purposes that there is any risk at one point at the moment.
Sarah?
Charles, I don't see here, why is NIEA not here? Well, like, there's no indication here as to why they haven't been informed this area of that invitation about in September time. Second point is, Councillor Clark of the Newcastle Councillor is best placed to have a most accurate view on what the requirements would be for Newcastle. So I'd like to know, does any of Councillor Gavin's colleagues, can they give us an update as to what our position is, because I'm sure they've read this report. Thank you.
I'm sure the full council meeting should have an opportunity to sort of own case across at that stage. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to clarify just for a minute. So the recommendations that they set are, we're accepting recommendation one, and recommendation two has to be amended to include Newcastle, and we are not currently accepting recommendation three. Is that correct?
That's the proposal in
secondary, yeah.
And okay,
also that we look at areas where there is sound at Newcastle Beach and the Chair of Batter and the things
at
Cornwall Beach.
Okay, not
for this directly,
but we will move to the
other direction. So there's a proposal in the second of
it.
Andy, do you want to
come in very briefly? Very, very briefly, though, I'm not that many breakers and notes in this morning, but it's a good echo, really, what Councillor Clark has said. I mean, any time I've been approached about the pop-up beach, and we was looked at with godly eyes, and tidying up the stretch of the beach that have gone to sort of a bit of erosion there is a priority. Scraping out the sand at the bottom of the steps, things like that. The boulders, we're seeing erosion in the reports. So we'll just to echo Councillor Clark, and thank you for letting me in.
Okay, Councillor, move on to item number 11 on sustainability. Charles, you were in already on the side.
Well, yeah.
Sure, we've asked them to come along to a workshop. It has taken some time just, but we continue to work with them on that.
Okay, sir. Item number 11, is this yourself again, Ali?
Yeah, Chair, the paper sets out details of work undertaken progressing the green tourism offering of the district. This work has specifically resulted in Nearing Morning Down being recognised as one of the top 100 green destinations in Europe. We're the only area in the UK and Ireland to achieve this award this year. So the paper sets out proposals for the Council Chairman and one officer to attend the award ceremony to receive the award in March.
Have you proposed that?
Proposed
that. Proposed that, and that is Jonas. Okay, so I'm happy enough then to move on to item 12, which is Delamont Resurfacing. Andy again.
Yeah, Chair, members will be aware of the ongoing work on developing a master plan for Delamont, looking at the medium and long term opportunities for the site. However, this report sets out the need for immediate work to improve the entrance drive to the site, recommendation for approval of this work to ensure it's undertaken for the summer season this year.
Robert?
I propose to take the offer for recommendation. It's much needed at the moment. There's a few potholes in it. But also, Andy, when I'm there, is there any chance of getting another road to Winship and putting it in around the slide and the swing? Because the other ones are some that get them around it and the others are set.
We'll look at that as part of the proposal survey.
Hi,
happy enough to sign it.
Okay, number 13 is the Spain visit. No, you're not going, sorry.
Yeah, Chair, the Mayor of Vimianzo was invited to Council Chairman to visit the region in March. This follows on from the visit of delegates from that region to Rowan and Sleep Crew DAs. and ever sent out proposals for this return visit.
So that's an invite to the Chair of Council?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Have we a proposal for that?
Sure. No. I propose that we send our chairman, because the mayor has been trying to make contact here, but hasn't been very successful. I know the mayor personally, and I reckon whoever goes will have a good time and to see what the project that he's trying to set up and do. And the Ronald and Steve Kruger deserves a great deal of thanks for all the hard work and effort that they've put in and received very little help, but they have managed to get there. And it's going to be a very successful group. And good luck with them.
Have we a family for that?
Just in regards to the visit, what are we getting out of the visit? Is it to look at setting up a Camino in Ireland? Is that what the study is?
I think I'll let the officers answer, Robert. You don't mind?
Yeah, it's the reciprocal invite from, it's supposed to follow on from the work of the group that brought the Spanish delegation over in the first instance, and opportunity for development of I suppose cultural links with the Camino is one of the top priorities for the group.
Okay, Willa. Okay, item 14, tourism events program, 19-20. Andy again.
Yeah, Chair, the paper sets out details of the tourism events program for the 19-20 year, including details of funded events and support that will be offered via the Council's financial assistance program. The recommendation is to approve the program and to approve funding support for the events in our place.
Okay, councillors, will be a proposer. Pete?
Yeah, I propose.
Go ahead.
Just on these all tourism events that are tourism events on this table, is that list that's in front of us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is that the end of the 12 party tourism events that will be funded in this financial year? And it's great to see, I know there was a lot of discussion, there was a meeting last Friday on UK Ireland Pride International Festival specifically, and an extra couple of £50,000 of this financial tourism budget to be put into UK and Ireland Pride. Is there any other third party festivals going to be funded from this? Is this list the end of it? And on that as well, are the groups that are on this list able to apply through the financial assistance? And so it's still capped on at 95,000 for the financial assistance under 15,000.
Through the chair, yeah, the list provided is those events that have asked for funding support, and but there is through the financial assistance program opportunity for other event promoters and organisers to apply for tourism funding and receive it through that program.
But specifically, the groups that are on this, not all of them, can apply for the financial assistance.
That's correct.
Okay, we are seconded from the proposal motion. Are you seconded?
Yeah, I'm
yep. Okay, a lot of comments on that, we move on to item on the rest from 15 through to 21 are for noting. If anybody wants to raise any of them,
Sure, can I just take the opportunity under the tracker sheet to say that the members and the chief executive have received the heads of terms for City Deal, so the draft heads of terms are in and we're just currently working through that detail, and also just that we are going to reopen the discussions and the work around the Brexit and the border corridors as well.
Okay. So, nobody else has any other item under the noted items, and I'll move on to.
Just the comments earlier about item 16.
Yeah, we get on board, sir. Sorry. 22 then, exempt items.
Just on that, it's the Palestine and the Holy Man, just the field of the head and official.
Yeah.
So, what are we doing with that?
Councillor Terry Andrews, I think it was him on behalf of councillors.
We did.
Terry is the sole representative. You're happy enough for that then? This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information on a public name, by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So, could I ask for our proposer, sorry. Motion and seconder. Alan, thank you. Okay, there you go. Item 22, the recommendation is due to significant investment required in chamber and initial findings and from the economic appraisal, it is recommended not to proceed to full application to DERA programme for the Chamber House project as council objectives to maximise visitor return of the is unlikely to be achieved. Number two, to submit an expression of interest to DERA rural development programme under the new time limited call, which will consider the following project elements of the Brilliant Forest Park event space and programme. Technical innovations and visitor services. That was proposed by motion and seconded by Kate. Item number 23 then is the recommendation is it is recommended that council officers will engage Forest Service further on the terms of the lease agreement to ensure the cost of maintaining, managing the building over this period, including the upkeep and the liability of the building, is considered in any lease agreement, and also an add-on is to explore with Forestry Service or through the council, the expressions of interest in relation to the coffee shop, and that was proposed by Willie and seconded by Robert. And item number 24 and the last one is recommendation to appoint a contractor to undertake remedial health and safety works to facilitate the use of the store and storage for storage purposes, to undertake a detailed structural assessment of the walkway, and other that to consider future use of the walkway as a potential outdoor space, and that's proposed by Michael and seconded by Data. Thank you very much, folks. That's moving over.